I want to read out of Romans chapter 10 today, a very familiar passage of Scripture, and hopefully a very simple message today. We won't take too much of your time. But in Romans chapter 10, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ain't that a wonderful thought today? Whoever will call on the Lord can get saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except be sent? They be sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. We'll pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We pray that you'd help us now while we might preach for the next few minutes. And that to be an encouragement to those that are sitting here in the sanctuary. And to be an encouragement to those that are going to hear on the radio. For those that are going to watch on video, I pray that this message might be a help to them and strengthen them in these uncertain times. And Lord, we sure do love you. And we thank you for Jesus who loves us and died for us so that we might be saved. Again, we pray for an unction from the Holy One. I pray that you'd touch us and anoint us afresh. And we'll tell you again that we love you. Save somebody that might be in the, under the sound of our voice, that you might save them. I pray that you'd do that. Help those that are hurting today. And we'll give you the glory for it all. For this in Jesus' name, we do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. As we look at this passage of Scripture, it's a very well-known passage of Scripture. And that dealing with salvation. The Apostle Paul, as he's writing to the church at Rome right here, and he talks about in verse 1, he talks about how he would love to see Israel saved. He said his heart's desire and prayer to God is that all Israel might be saved. And they had a zeal, but they just didn't have a zeal according to the knowledge and that of God. They were religious, but they didn't know what it meant, and that to trust Christ. As a matter of fact, in verse 4, he said, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And so without Christ, they could not get saved. In the same way is for you today. Without Christ, you cannot be saved. He said, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, and trust him, and that to save you because of what he done. The Bible said over here, if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so that's the gospel today, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we call it the gospel, and that's what Paul says in verse 15. He talks about in that the preacher in verse 15, and that being called and being sent, and he said that they do one thing. He said, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. And that's simply what I want to look at today, is the gospel of peace. In a time when folk are struggling and don't have no peace, and life is turned upside down and don't know what to do or where to turn to, I can tell you that you can turn to Christ and he can handle it all today. Does that mean your trouble's going to go away? No. Does that mean problems go away? No. But that means that there's somebody there and that to help you in your time of need. The Bible said in John chapter 16 and verse 33, I believe as Jesus was talking to his disciples, he said, these things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Can I speak to the Christian for just a minute and say that if you're saved today, then we should be of good cheer. Listen, we should be of good cheer. I understand that times are unusual out there today and we don't exactly know what's going on and why and all these things, but I know this, in the world you'll have tribulation, but we don't have to because we've been saved. And he said, I've spoken to you that you might have peace. And so we find today that if you've trusted Christ that you have peace, but if you have not, then you do not have peace today. And I trust that you would accept him as your Savior today. But we look right here that the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he tells us over there that he delivered unto them first of all that which he also received. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 1, he calls it the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, well, let's just turn over there. But he calls it the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand. Verse 2, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And so we find that the Apostle Paul believed and trusted in the gospel, and that is what he preached. And so we find right here that he calls it the gospel of peace. The only thing that will bring peace to your heart today and joy on the inside is the gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and trusting in that and knowing that he can save you and did save you when you ask him, that brings peace today. So we look at three things today and that about this gospel of peace. Number one, as we look in verse 14, we see the necessity of it. He said, how shall they call on him in whom they've not believed, and how shall they believe in him and whom they've not heard? And so today I'm preaching to you, if you've never trusted Christ to be your personal Savior, there is a necessity. You must understand that, look, the devil's got you blinded. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, he said, for if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, there it is again, should shine unto, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Somewhere along the line, if you're saved today, somebody had to tell you about the gospel and that to get saved. There was a necessity in your life. And listen, I know and understand that from the Word of God, but also from being lost, I know that there was condemnation and there was judgment that was in my life. But boy, what peace and joy and happiness come in that flooded my soul when I got saved. It's still there today. Listen, it may get pressed down. It may get bent out of shape. It may seem like it ain't there sometimes. But thank God that every now and again that peace comes by and lets me know that I'm His. There's peace down on the inside today, no matter what. But the Bible said right here that if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. So let me say, there's a necessity for you to get saved, but there is a necessity and that for the Christian to let our light shine so that others might get saved. The Bible said if in the book of Matthew chapter 8, he said, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The Bible said in John chapter 1 and verse 4, he said in him, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Folk just didn't understand it. John chapter 3 and verse 16, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And so we find right here that you're already condemned. Jesus didn't come to the world to bring judgment. Jesus didn't come to the world to bring condemnation. He came to this world and that to bring the gospel so that men and women, boys and girls could get saved. There is a necessity because men and women are sinners by nature. We find there is a necessity of that. There must have been a way. And listen, we see all through the Old Testament of the types that, that led up to this time, up to Christ and that coming. But we know that when he come so that he might save sinners. He said, I come not to call the righteous to repentance, but those that what were sinners. Amen. And so he calls it the gospel of peace. It's hid from you today, friend, if you've never trusted him. Satan wants to hide it from you and you're struggling and that to have peace. You're trying every other way to have peace with God. You're trying to have peace with man. You're trying to have peace with yourself and you just can't do it because you don't know the one that can give peace today. I'm glad I know him today. Let me say, dear Christian, that number two, that ought to be our motivation. That ought to be our motivation is the gospel of peace. There's a necessity of it because men and women, boys and girls are lost. And they need to get saved. And our motivation ought to be the very fact that we have the good news that they can get saved today. Listen, the one thing that you can always give somebody is the gospel. The Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul he's talking about the whole armor of God over there, and he's talking about how to have your loins girt about with the truth, and he talks about carrying the shield of faith, how to quench all the fire darts of the wicked. But one of the things he says, he said in verse 15 of Ephesians 6, and your feet shone with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Listen, it is that gospel of peace that makes our feet move, that makes us go and makes us want to tell others and that about the wonderful peace and joy that only God can give today. It should be our motivation. If you're reading with me today, I want you to take your Bible and look with me in 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7. And we find a story. Samaria is laid in that under siege. And they don't have anything to eat. I mean, they're doing without anything to eat. And they're starving to death. And Elisha comes in. And then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Listen, they're starving to death. And now all of a sudden, the man of God comes in and says, "Tomorrow about this time, we're basically going to be giving it away. I mean, you're just going to pay very little for it." Boy, what a time like that now. I mean, we're out of everything. I mean, it seems. I didn't even think about this while I was studying this. I mean, the cupboards or the shelves are getting bare there at the grocery store, it seems, a lot of times. But I mean, these people were starving to death. We ain't starving to death yet. And listen, he says right here, "Here comes the man of God," and he says, "I'm going to sell it for just a little of nothing." And then the Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" And he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof." And so ye of little faith, I guess you might say, he said, "Look, if God just opened up to heaven, could this really happen? Would it really happen if God opened up to heaven?" Elisha told him, said, "You'll see it, but you won't partake of it." And then he changes gears right here, the story does. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. But if they kill us, we shall but die." And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were coming to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." And wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it. And came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. And then they said one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come that we may go and tell the king's household." Their motivation was, I mean, here they come in and the Lord had made the enemy in that to run off and left everything just sitting there for the taking. And here comes four leprous men that thought they were going to die, knew they were going to die, and were willing to fall into the hands of the enemy, and was really didn't know when they went in if they were going to live or die before morning, whether they was going to be dead or alive. And as they come in, I mean, listen, everything was still sitting there, food to eat, the gold, the silver, everything, if you let me say that, in verse 8, and here they go, and they're carrying it all off, and they're hiding it. And as I like to tell the church, I mean, they've got a chicken leg in a pocket and a chicken leg in a hand, and listen, they've been starving to death, and now they've got to eat. And then all of a sudden, they look up at each other, and they say to one another, "We do not well." Why is that? Why did they do not wail? Because they said, this is a day of good tidings. And said, we what? We hold our peace. There is a necessity that the world needs salvation, and that should be our motivation. Because they're sitting there as four leprous men in a camp that went on as far as the eye could see, and food setting everywhere, and there is people starving to death back in Samaria. Let me say that if you're saved today, shame on us if we don't spread the gospel of peace today. Listen, if you're saved, there is people around you, people in your family, people that you work with, people that you're in and out and around that need to hear the gospel of peace. Listen, that Jesus would save them. He died for them, rose again for them, and will bring peace unto their life if they would just come to Him. And listen, so they go out and they tell the king's house and tell the good news. And it took a little bit to get there, but they finally got there and got it done. Listen, the only thing that is going to get your neighbor saved, the only thing that's going to get your family saved, and that is the gospel of the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, unto everyone," to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It is the power of God that works today. I encourage you to carry the gospel. Be motivated, and that by the gospel. It's the gospel that does the work today. We just carry it. We just tell it. We just tell the message. Paul said, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Paul said, "We don't preach me. I don't preach me, but I preach Jesus and what He done." You know what helps little boys and little girls and that to have peace in their heart and joy in their heart? Jesus. The gospel of the peace, gospel of peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, he said, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." But we look at the rest of the scripture, and he said, not only do they preach, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. You're glad to see them coming. And listen, that's just Old Testament scripture coming out of Isaiah 52:7. Ain't that what he said? He said over here, he said, "As it is written, how beautiful." You know what he said in Isaiah 52? Let me read over here. Let me go over here and I'll just read it to you, and then we'll move on. But Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 7. Paul's quoting this and using it in his passage of scripture here. In Isaiah 52 and 7, he said, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth." Man, today I'm telling you what, I'm glad somewhere along the line that there was a preacher preached and I heard the gospel. There was a Sunday school teacher taught and I heard the gospel. Somebody told me about the gospel of peace, and somewhere along the line God dealt with my heart one Sunday night, and I trusted Him and peace flooded my soul. How beautiful they are that does those things. But he said it's the gospel of peace, and said not only that, and bring glad tidings of good things. You know, when you get saved, there's a message that comes, and that with salvation. Not only do you get saved, and not only does peace flood your soul and come in. And I know the world. I know we get in turmoil and we have anxiety and worry and care. And we're talking about in a time now. But, you know, he said, "Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." But listen, He can bring peace. But listen, he said, "Bring you glad tidings of good things." Well, you know the glad tidings of good things. I mean, what a joy it was the night or the day that I realized. I mean, when I studied my Bible and realized that my sins were forgiven. We sing an old song here at the church. You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. Listen, you're talking about bringing glad tidings of good things. I mean, boy, I was glad that with the gospel come the forgiveness of sins. The Bible talks about in Revelations 1 and 5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood, I'm no longer an enemy against God. I'm no longer, he's no longer angry at me. Listen, I've been reconciled to him, put in a friendly state with him. And in Ephesians chapter 2, as the Apostle Paul is talking about how that God will save the Jew and the Gentile together and put them in the same body. He said at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. He's our peace. See, there that word is again. For he is our peace that gives us that rest and that contentment on the inside where we're not tore up. He said, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. That word enmity is the quality of being an enemy. Even the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, there it is again, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you who were afar off, and to them that were nigh. Ain't that something? When the gospel comes, it brings peace because my sins have been forgiven. It's been wiped clean. I'm no longer an enemy of God. There's now, what is it? Romans chapter 8 talks about, there's therefore now no condemnation. Well, ain't that a wonderful thought? Christ came not in the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. See, you're already condemned, friend. If you're lost, you're already condemned. You know, right now, if you're saved and you know the gospel of peace and understand, listen, you know you've got a friend. I'm talking about he brought you, what was it? Glad tidings of good things. I got a friend. I didn't know that. I didn't know that when I first got saved. But boy, I found out not long afterwards I got a friend when I got saved. And it was in Christ. And boy, he changed me. Ain't that something? He gave me a book of promises and gave me a home in heaven. I mean, listen, brought glad tidings of good things. Not only did it bring peace, but it brought a whole bucket load of stuff. You know what them people in 2 Kings chapter 7, all they were doing was starving to death. And all they needed was something to eat. But do you realize when they went into that camp in there, that man, they not only got something to eat, but they got to carry off the rest of the spoil too. They carried off the gold and the silver and all the garments that were laying around. And not only that, they got the animals that were down there and the tents. Can you imagine everything that they hauled away? All because somebody said, hey, we do not well. It is a day. It's a day of good tidings. Can I tell you today, I know you may be worried. And you may be stressed out. You may be wondering what's going on. Let me say this today. If you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you can trust Him. Man, that still thrills my heart today. What I done when I was a 14-year-old boy, listen, he's still on the inside, still living on the inside. But if you've never trusted him, I encourage you to trust him today. But dear Christian friend, if you know him, then listen, you've got peace. You should have peace on the inside. It's the gospel of peace that makes the difference today. Cry out to God. If you're lost and unsaved, knowing that he died for you, and Jesus will save you. If you'll cry out and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I need to get saved. And I know you died and rose again for me. And say, Lord, I'm praying the best way that I know how. I know these things and I want you to save me. You know what he'll do? He'll save you today. Boy, when I finally got a hold of that I prayed the best way that I know how that night. And there was a God in heaven that bent over. Boy, I still get tickled about that. Psalms chapter 40 said that I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined unto me and heard my cry. And lifted me up also out of the horrible pit, out of miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. He inclined to me that night that I got saved. Friend, can I tell you today, he'll do the same thing to you if you're lost. He'll incline to you. And dear Christian friend, if you're worried and you're struggling, I want you to know he's still got it under control today. The gospel of peace ain't changed. it still brings peace and joy into our heart today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us. I pray this message will be a blessing to those that hear it. And Lord, those that are lost, I pray they might get saved. I pray as this goes out, Lord, on the radio, as it goes out on the internet, as it goes out on video, Lord, I pray that those that might be lost would see it, hear it, and act upon the Word of God and trust you to save them. If there's a dear Christian out there today, Lord, that's worrying, let them know you got it under control. You've got their soul. They don't have to worry. You've got it took care of. Thank you for the good, for the glad tidings of good things that came. Not only peace and joy, but the promise, Lord, that you give us out of your book of a new home and a new body and a new place, and that you'll never leave us and desert us while we're here. Thank you for all them promises that you give us. Lord, let us be like them four lepers and go out and tell others that this is a good thing, what you can do for them. We love you and we thank you. Let this message go out and work now. For this in Jesus' name. Amen.